Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's 54 degrees on Friends Plaza in Urbana this morning at 8:50, and time now for our pre-opening commodity market report. And sitting in for Dave Dickey today is Jay Pierce. Hi, Jay.
Well, good morning, Dan. Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. The Midwest direct hog markets are called steady in some locations to as much as a dollar per hundredweight lower in others. The market is pressured by concerns that demand for the pork may not keep up with the huge slaughter rates, especially over the next week to 10 days due to the Thanksgiving holiday and focus on turkeys. Also, the holiday will take a workday away from the slaughter schedule and may back up hog supplies as a result. The terminal markets were called steady to a dollar lower, with top prices expected from 30 to 32.50 on a live basis at Peoria, 30 and steady. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, negotiated swine purchases were 12,967 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was 38.75 to 46, and the weighted average 44.15, a gain of 46 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from 29.34 to 36.95, and the weighted average was 34.79. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 16,654. The base price range was 38 to 53.75, weighted average 47. And that was a loss of 20 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from 30.51 to 39 even, and the weighted average was 37.46. In a moment, we will take a look at the overnight trade from the Chicago Board of Trade and from Kansas City in the wheat pit there, and talk things over with somebody from Strategic Farm Marketing. Get an opening call for today. But first, it's time to take a look at our agricultural weather. And joining us is our chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Jay. And as we take a look at the South American weather first, I'll go there first today just because I don't want to shortchange it at all. And long range, there are some big question marks with the weather. So similar to the Midwest Corn Belt, the models are not having a good handle on things beyond about a week. So just keep that in mind if you're trading commodities and you want to make a good decision based on the future. You have to realize that there are some unknowns out there regarding Argentina and Brazil more than a week out. Now, in the short term, I could tell you that rain has fallen, and rain in some cases has been rather heavy over southern Brazil and the country of Paraguay over the last 24 hours, some places picking up 1 to 3 inches of rain, especially in northern portions of Mato Grosso do Sul on over to the country of Paraguay. And decent amounts of rain have fallen a little farther north in Brazil on up into parts of Mato Grosso do Sul. And that area is going to continue to get showers and thunderstorms today. In fact, decent rains will fall over the next 24 hours from northern Rio Grande do Sul into Santa Catarina, Paraná, Sao Paulo, and Mato Grosso do Sul. And that's as a cold front pushes northward. And, of course, cold fronts go northward in the southern hemisphere just as they go southward in our hemisphere. Now, as that front gets farther to the north, the shower and thunderstorm coverage will decrease a bit, but we're still looking for some showers and thunderstorms in the states of Mato Grosso, Goiás, and Minas Gerais. Now, extreme northern Minas Gerais and Goiás may miss out on total coverage of rain, but most of those states will get some. Bahia, that's another situation. It doesn't look like any rain of significance is going to fall there. They may get a few spotty showers here and there, but they're still going to remain in dire straits as far as precipitation, and they've been extremely dry, way below average on rainfall since the beginning of October. So if there's one production area in Brazil that's going to have extreme problems, it would be the state of Bahia. Now, as far as total production in Brazil, just to put it in perspective, less than 5% of the corn and soybeans grown in Brazil are grown in that state. So it will have an impact, but it's not as great an impact as some of the other production areas. But that is an area that's in drought, and other than a few showers coming in the next 24 hours on a spotty basis and way too light to really reverse the dry trend, it looks like mostly dry weather is expected for the next week. And then beyond this week, it's still pretty questionable as to what's going to happen weather-wise. Now, in Argentina, we're looking at a similar situation that we've looked at for the last couple of weeks. And basically, some showers have come on a timely basis to the northern production areas of Argentina. During the last 24 hours, though, most areas didn't get rain. Some of eastern Argentina did. One location in northern Buenos Aires province did pick up about 4/10 of an inch of rain. But as we look at the bigger picture, there are concerns with dryness, especially with the fact that there's none in the forecast here in the next week or so, but much of Buenos Aires and La Pampa and Cordoba and southern Santa Fe are too dry right now. So that may start to affect growth rates a little bit. As you go a little farther north, the conditions are a little better, but much of the Argentinian growing region is now on the dry side. Here in the Midwest Corn Belt, just a general look at things. Generally, dry weather is going to prevail until about Monday of next week. It looks like a wet weather system comes through about Tuesday into Wednesday. Behind that, colder weather, but the extent of the cold weather and when precipitation will fall after that is still a little sketchy. There may be a few showers in the Ohio Valley today and some lake effect showers all on the light side to the lee of the Great Lakes tomorrow and tomorrow evening. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Take a look at the overnight trade, first of all, from Kansas City, December wheat. Opened at 7.62, that was unchanged. It was down 4.25 on the last trade. March at 7.74 was down 2 on the open, down 6 on the last trade. December wheat in Chicago unchanged at 7.48 on the open, down 7.25 on the last trade. March at 7.68.5, down a half on the open, down 9 on the last trade. May at 7.54 was up a half on the open and down 5 on the last trade. July at 6.62, up a half and down 3.5. September, 673, up 1.25 on the open. It last traded 3.75 lower. And December, 08, 677, up 1 on the open, down 3 in the last trade. December corn, 372.5, down 0.25 on the open, up 2.5 on the last trade. And the March contract at 391, down 1 and up 2.25. May at 401.75, down 0.5 on the open, up 2.75 from the last trade. July at 409.5, down 1 on the open, last traded up 2.5. September at 414.5, unchanged on the open, up 3 on the last trade. And December, 08 at 420, down 0.75 on the open, up 2.25 on the last trade. November soybeans at 1045 on the open, up 0.75, up 11 on the last trade. January at 10.56, down 0.25 on the open, but up 12.5 on the last trade. March at 10.68, down 1.75 and up 11.75. May at 10.74, down 0.5 and up 10.25. July at 10.76, down 0.5 and up 12.25. And August at 10.65, up 5 and up 10. The September 08 contract at 10.30, up 8 and up 12.5 on that last trade. December soybean meal, 285, unchanged on the open, up 430 on the last trade. And January at 288.90, up 190 on the open and 430 on the last trade. December oil at 44.19, down 4 and up 37. And January at 44.66, up 8 on the open, up 45 on the last trade. And Tom Mann joins us from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. Now, Tom, any surprises in those numbers for you?
No, not really. This thing is all about global economics right now. If you look at this morning's markets, obviously gold's extremely higher. You've got the dollar's weaker. Outside stuff's all supportive. Crude's up, palm oil's up, soy oil up overnight. That's what it's all about today. You know, we were actually kind of surprised about, we were doing some research the other day on and ran some charts on the dollar index versus crude and the dollar index versus corn, and they were strikingly similar. And every time that you'd have the dollar index down, you've got crude up and you've got corn up. So, I mean, you know, they've been tracking themselves since before 2000, probably back around 1998. So I expect more of the same. The world's gotten obviously smaller, so these things are going to have a lot of net effect. Also, U.S. right now, a lot of people starting to talk about how dry it is here, and that's adding a little fuel to the fire. We've got China's economy and Russia's economy kind of running in an inflationary pattern. We're going to see some things go on there where they're going to do some things to try to curtail that, and what that may be is they may suppress exports to kind of get food costs down in our nation, et cetera. So, I mean, there's a lot of things going on here. Unfortunately, it's not all local.
All right. So some opening calls quickly.
I would call corn and beans both up significantly. We'll probably see corn up 2 to 5 and beans up 10 to 12. I look for wheat to fall off 5 to 7, and we're getting pretty near the support levels on wheat. We're also hitting some resistance on corn.
Tom, thanks a lot.
You bet.
It's Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, and you're listening to WILL Urbana. BBC News now at a minute past 9.